Cause toujours, tu m'intéresses sur Onde Femme 93.8 MHz. Nous allons vous faire écouter une interview des Guerilla Girls. Qui sont ces Guerilla Girls? Ce sont des femmes du monde artistique de New York qui se promènent dans les rues avec des masques de gorille. Elles luttent contre le racisme, contre le sexisme dans le monde des arts aux États-Unis. Leur principale action est de coller des posters sur les murs des rues de New York, sur les murs des musées, des galeries, des posters qui dénoncent le sexisme dans les arts. Elles dénoncent les directeurs de musées, elles dénoncent les directeurs de galeries de ne pas exposer ou de ne pas assez exposer des œuvres de femmes d'artistes. Elle publie aussi des statistiques sur le nombre de femmes artistes exposées dans les différents musées. Elle publie aussi des chiffres sur ce que gagne une femme artiste comparée à un homme artiste. Nous avons réussi à les rencontrer, trois d'entre elles, à Bâle lors du Symposium international de femmes des sciences et du monde artistique. Elles nous ont rencontrées sans leur masque de gorille, sinon vous n'écouterez très mal leur voix à travers leur masque. Mais elles ont quand même mis un petit loup pour cacher leur identité. Nous leur avons tout d'abord demandé pourquoi ces masques, pourquoi avoir choisi des masques de gorille pour se montrer en public.
I don't know why.
Well, it's a play on the word gorilla. Gorilla as a an urban terrorist and gorilla as the animal. So it was a pun. And also we felt that there was something frightening about putting there's something frightening to human beings about gorillas because we associate with them but disassociate with them at the same time. We thought that on a female would be a terrifying image.
Mm-hmm. In your lecture yesterday, you showed on the video some extracts, and I imagine those are also extracts from TV shows.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you use those masks mainly when you are interviewed mm-hmm. on TV or when you make a performance somewhere?
Yes, but are you asking whether when we meet together, whether we wear them? Oh, we're purists, yes. We only take them off when we're in the shower or go to bed. Yeah.
Les Guerilla Girls nous ont alors raconté comment elles ont commencé, quelles ont été leurs premières actions.
We actually started in 1985, and in 1984 there was a show at the Museum of Modern Art where there were approximately 15 women in a show of 166 artists. And actually it was, the museum had just been renovated, and it was an international painting and sculpture show. So we thought this was absolutely abominable. So we started in 85, and we've produced 30 posters in 5 years. We originally started out with statistics. We targeted galleries for not showing enough women artists. We targeted critics for not writing enough about women artists. We targeted curators for not including enough women in their shows. And we tried to point out the inequities in the system. And many people felt that they wanted to be politically correct. And they absolutely, there's been a fair amount of change. And we feel that, some of it obviously is due to our actions. And we've gotten a great support because there is an enormous need, certainly among women, to be supportive of us.
Nous avons alors demandé aux Guerilla Girls pourquoi elles gardaient leur anonymat. Pourquoi ne révélaient-elles jamais leur nom?
I think that if I were to tell you who I am, you would say, well, she's not a very good artist. Or you might say, well, she's so famous that who cares what she says? She doesn't remember. There are so many reasons for not saying who you are, because it's not the particular person who's complaining. When you're trying to tell the truth, you're trying to tell the truth for all women.
Yeah, we're talking about the general condition of women, not our individual experiences. And it's a way of keeping the issue pure, keeping our personalities out of it. And it's also a way of, I mean, let's face it, it's a kind of advertising hype. You know, it's a way of creating interest in us.
Nous avons alors demandé aux Guerrilla Girls lequel des posters ou laquelle des actions qu'elles ont entreprises, qu'elles ont dessinées, elles préfèrent le plus.
My favorite poster is The Advantages of Being a Woman Artist. I think it's absolutely fabulous. It seems to be, it has just the ironic twist, and it's not a complaining poster. It says it in a very humorous way, and it is right on target, not only for women artists in the visual sense, also writers and many other fields. So other women can really relate to that across the board. And it has, and it's very funny. So that's my favorite poster. And I think that many of the other posters that we have done, which deal with specific percentages, are not as broad. You're not as interested in going back to and laughing at and so on. So this holds your interest for a much longer period of time.
From the beginning, my favorite poster is always the one that we're going to do next. And the next poster we're going to do will be of the censorship tape that we played, which suggested a solution to the censorship problem in the United States, because it really is about the depiction of the male penis, because women's naked bodies have been shown throughout art forever. And our solution was that if male penises are so offensive to the conservatives, that perhaps all the men in the art world should cut theirs off and send it in. anyway, we also felt that that would sort of appeal to men's castration fantasies. Because actually...
Appeal?
Yes.
So how will you form...
Well, the headline will be something like, "The Guerrilla Girls proposed drastic art cuts." So on that tape goes, "Hello, we're the Guerrilla Girls, and we're here to tell you boys that this NEA censorship business is all your fault. For 5,000 years, our tits and ass have been in art all over the world, and no one said a word about it. But we get a couple of pictures of penises, and the whole house of cards come tumbling down. So since you got us into this mess, we've figured out a way for you to get us out of it. Tomorrow morning, wrap up your penis real pretty and send it to Jesse Helms with a note saying, 'Dear Jesse, there won't be any more of these in our art because there are none in the art world. We know you might feel uncomfortable about surrendering your reproductive organ to the federal government, but take it from us girls, you'll get used to it.'" Allusion to also to the abortion situation in the United States, where the government feels that they can tell a woman what she does with her body, that they can control birth control, they can control reproduction.
The tape also is it's a takeoff on Marilyn Monroe. So basically it has someone, "Hi, boys." And it's very breathy and sexy and seductive. But
and one of our posters, which I'd like to read you, is titled, "When Racism and Sexism Are No Longer Fashionable, What Will Your Art Collection Be Worth?" And we make the point in the poster that white males will not forever be making the money. And it says, "For the $17.7 million you just spent on a single Jasper Johns painting, you could have bought at least one work by all of these women and artists of color." And then what follows is an enormous long list of women artists in history, all dead women artists, I might add, not contemporary ones. And they include women like Sonia Delaunay, Rosa Bonheur, Georgia O'Keeffe, Merritt Oppenheim, Augusta Savage, who was a very famous black woman artist in the early 19th century, Eva Hesse, Hannah Hawke, Frida Kahlo. And this list really is saying that you could have had a piece by each one of these artists for the price of one Jasper Johns.
Yeah.
basically we were trying to make collectors feel a little nervous about putting so many of their eggs in one basket. And the fact that the commodity part of the art world changes, and that spending money on art, becomes fashion, and perhaps, 10 years from now, Jasper Johns won't be so fashionable. And wouldn't it make more sense to have an entire collection than rather to diversify your investments rather than to put them all in one risky place?
I'd actually like to read The Advantages of Being a Woman Artist. This is, of course, one of my favorites. Working without the pressure of success, not having to be in shows with men, having an escape from the art world in your four freelance jobs, knowing your career might pick up after you're 80, being reassured that whatever kind of art you make, it will be labeled feminine, not being stuck in a tenured teaching position, seeing your ideas live on in the work of others, having the opportunity to choose between career and motherhood, not having to choke on those big cigars or paint in Italian suits, having more time to work after your maid dumps you for someone younger, being included in revised versions of art history, not having to undergo the embarrassment of being called a genius, getting your picture in the art magazines wearing a gorilla suit.
Une des Guerrilla Girls était en train de nous lire le libellé du poster qu'elles avaient intitulé « Les avantages d'être une femme artiste ». J'essaye de vous traduire ce que dit ce poster. Donc, quels sont les avantages d'être une femme artiste ? De pouvoir travailler sans la pression de devoir avoir du succès. De ne pas devoir être exposé avec des hommes. De pouvoir s'échapper du monde des arts en travaillant à 4 jobs freelance. De savoir que votre carrière pourrait commencer après vos 80 ans. D'être réassuré que quel que soit l'art que vous faites, il sera taxé de féminin. De voir que vos idées continuent à vivre dans les œuvres des autres. D'avoir la possibilité de choisir entre carrière et maternité. De ne pas devoir mâcher ses gros cigares ou peindre en costume made in Italy. D'avoir plus de temps pour travailler après que votre compagnon vous a laissé tomber pour quelqu'un de plus jeune. D'être inclus dans les versions de l'histoire de l'art revue. De ne pas subir l'embarras d'être appelé une génie. De voir votre photo dans les revues d'art habillées en gorille. Vous êtes toujours à l'écoute de Onde Femme 93.8 MHz. Notre émission de ce soir, Cause toujours, tu m'intéresses, se passe avec les Guerrilla Girls. Les Guerrilla Girls qui sont des femmes artistes qui nous viennent de New York et qui luttent dans le monde des arts contre le sexisme, contre le racisme. Lors de l'interview avec 3 Guerrilla Girls, nous avons poser la question de savoir quel est le nombre de Guerrilla Girls.
Hundreds of thousands.
And the real active.
Hundreds of thousands.
Okay.
So after we leave Switzerland, there will probably be hundreds of thousands in Switzerland.
When you are working
on a next action, how do you work? I think as we speak here all together, I feel already there are same ideas, different ideas.
Yes.
How do you find your way in the group?
We have a lot of fun. Whenever we had enough fun, we stop.
There are so many people with different ideas that we break off into small groups and we work on different things. So that there are always poster ideas cooking. There are always things that we must investigate because we have to do a lot of research in order to publish the figures or in order to find out about a problem that seems to be happening in some section of the art world.
So that we need a lot of people working with us. And there are people that we have who work in museums who don't come to all the meetings, but they call us up and they tell us what's going on so that we can work on that. There's always something that's happening enough for our members to keep busy.
We're an underground, and the thing is, the art world in New York never knows where we are. I mean, we may be Leo Castelli's secretary. We may be his proctologist. We may be Holly Solomon's hairdresser. We may be Mary Boone's babysitter. We might even be Carl Andre's next girlfriend.
Well, now, Carl Andre is the very popular minimalist artist.
So we have many women who are in power positions too. So I mean, we're talking about, we have a lot of solidarity across the board.
Mm-hmm. We are a disease, and you know, everywhere we go, we sort of we spread.
And across the board, you mean across New York,
spread.
Manhattan?
Meaning that we have some women are in. In curatorial positions and other, just a whole range, a whole artists and just a whole
professors.
Range professors, whole range in positions in the art world. Yeah,
heads of arts organizations, many professors. You know, I mean,
directors
of museums,
right. Just a whole range. Yeah.
Right.
And what do you say when on your work suddenly somebody says, hey, are you one of the gorillas?
We say no, we're not, because...
Well, some of us say, aren't you? Everyone is a gorilla girl at heart. Every woman should be. Every woman artist should be.
About the money, how are you able to work in such a large scale?
We do several things. We... sell our posters, and the posters are very popular, and so we sell our posters, and that money gets put back into making more posters. We do visiting lectures at universities all across the United States and now in Europe, and for that we get money, which then goes back to making more posters. And we're finding that we're doing even bigger things than just making posters. We're making billboards. Do you know the big signs that you see on the street?
Mm-hmm.
And we have been asked to make special articles for magazines. And whenever we're asked...
We haven't actually been paid for any of the articles or contributions in terms of magazines. We've
never
been paid for any of that.
The actions are what we spend our money on.
Yes.
And the billboards, by the way, we're not getting a fee. We're just there just doing our work, basically.
Right.
The same thing with the magazine.
But I think the important thing is that initially, before we had a reputation, we depended on the small contributions from many women. We got by initially on $5 and $10 donations from women who liked our posters and believed in us. We haven't had to do that now because we have the establishment paying us, buying our posters and giving us fees. In fact, I believe probably the Swiss government was involved in some way with this conference.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever the sponsors of this conference were are now our contributors. They have paid for our subversion. It's very funny to have the system that we're attacking financing us.
A little bit. I think it's important also for the audience to know that it doesn't take a lot of money to print a poster, and we don't pay ourselves money for doing this work. So therefore, anybody who really wants to get a message out can remember what it's like to be in school and to just print up a flyer that people can read. When you're angry, find a way to get your anger out that has as many people seeing it as possible.
One of our early, we decided to put our work in forums that were free. That's why we did it on the street. You don't have to rent the street. You just go out at night and put up your posters. We also did actions in museums where we would go into a museum that had a show that we felt was discriminatory, and we would go in the bathroom stalls, in the toilet stalls, because that's a very private place, and we would put up posters and statements and things there. We also would go into the bookstores, in the art bookstores, in the museums, and put in statements about the museum's policy in all the books in the bookstore, and also in the postcard racks. We would put the statements in the postcard rack, so every once in a while someone would pull up a postcard and be confronted by a statement that said, the Guggenheim Museum transformed 3 decades of sculpture by excluding women artists. Things like that. There are so many forums that are free, so many places where you can put your message. All you have to do is think about it a little bit. And if you do something outrageous enough, the media will immediately come after you. We've gotten so much media coverage because of the masks and because of the kind of provocative quality of our work. It's a little irritating that the same issues, if we didn't cloak them in drama or in provocative actions, these issues would not be covered, even though the situation is exactly the same whether there's a gorilla girl or not. So you have to be creative about trying to get attention and how to get free attention. So what we're really doing is encouraging the audience to think of ways to communicate their feelings about the situation. And there are so many free venues, so many free ways to do it.
Nous avons ensuite demandé aux Guerrilla Girls quel a été ou quel est l'impact de leurs actions sur le monde des arts.
It's interesting now. It's interesting now that there are some issues.
What do you think we're here for?
No, there are some issues that we no longer have to talk about. We've got the media talking about them for us, which is why now we're expanding our interests in it to criticizing the ethics of the art world in general. Because all now the writers for the New York Times are doing what we did 5 years ago. They're
but that's because they noticed that
that's
we
correct.
Complained about it, and they did not want to be listed as not paying attention to whether there were women in group shows or to whether there were women having shows in the museums. And so now, because they know we're going to complain, that the Guerrilla Girls are going to say something, they now write about it. So that is something that we notice we have had an effect on doing.
We're engaging in intimidation.
In the New York Times in April, Roberta Smith wrote an article on us, and she was very supportive of us. We had a long time ago mentioned her on a hit list in terms of not writing enough about women artists. Now she has acknowledged that faux pas, and when she writes reviews in the Times, she acknowledges how many in a group show, how many women are included in the show, and she pinpoints it. So she is targeting people now. We did, this of course is a poster that we're thinking about. These critics don't write enough about women artists, and Roberta Smith was on that. They're also a museum curator at the Whitney, Lisa Phillips, at a Whitney Biennial did not have very many women artists, and it's a very important show in New York that what is happening now, and she had acknowledged after we have pointed out there were not enough women that the after 2 years, it's a biennial, many more women were included as a result. So there are people who have acknowledged our influence. So we know that we're making some inroads.
Well, the posters are seen in many places because we do visit other places. There are Guerrilla Girl groups in California. We recommend that anyone who wants to do this sort of action can follow guidelines, not say who they are, in other words, be anonymous, print, or have radio programs like this one, where you don't have to say who you are as long as you're telling the truth. It's people need to hear it. There's a group in Texas that calls themselves Guerrilla Girls that do nothing but produce cartoons, and they're very, very good cartoons.
We would suggest, though, that you find your own name and identity, because that way it would make it look like there's a much broader movement. What we're doing is saying that our tactics and our strategies are up for grabs. We encourage you to take them. We encourage you to do what we have done because it has worked. We are very interested in establishing contacts in Europe. We think there's a lot of work to be done here, and we would like to invite We would like to invite Europe to invite us back. We would like to visit some art schools and art institutions in Switzerland and in Germany and in France, in the Netherlands, in Belgium. We think you really need us. And this is our first trip here, and we would like to conquer Europe.
Nous avons posé la question aux Guerrilla Girls si elles avaient des informations quant à la situation financière des femmes artistes aux États-Unis.
We did have one statistic that women artists make one-third of what male artists make, but that was based on some statistics gathered by the National Endowment for the Arts, and that really included graphic artists and commercial artists. We want to gather some information on it, but a lot of that is so confidential that the gallery dealers won't tell you what they really pay for things. Artists are reluctant to tell you what they make. We're trying to figure out a way to do that. We've heard some estimates that women artists probably make about one-tenth of what male artists make. For every dollar that a male artist makes, a woman will make 10 cents. It's oftentimes connected with this idea of genius, that there are many, many artists and only a few do work of value. And it's based on an elitism, the fact that many try, many fail, and only a few succeed, which is a kind of, you know, that's the whole mentality of genius. And that really is something that's in Western art from about the time of the Renaissance. But earlier than that, there was a sense of artists being guild members, tradespeople, that they were part of a community. And it's really since then that has grown this idea of the artist as being a hero. And we'd like to break that down a little bit because we think that's connected with a lot of machismo.
Les trois femmes guérillas ont profité de leur passage à Bâle pour aller visiter les musées de cette ville. Le musée d'art contemporain, la Kunsthalle et le Kunsthaus. Elles nous donnent ici leur impression qu'elles ont eue après avoir visité ces musées et après avoir bien regardé si des femmes artistes y étaient exposées.
Well, we noticed that there are an enormous number of male artists featured in the museums, and we tried to make a count. In the Contemporary Museum, we saw one woman artist who seems to be in the permanent collection. We're not too sure. And when we asked at the desk if there were other women artists in the collection, they showed us a catalog and they said, look, we had a show of a woman artist last year. Which was rather amazing and disturbing. And in the Kunsthalle, there's a Lee Bontecou, and there are two Swiss...
Sophie Talbert, and Marit Oppenheim. But that's only in what was shown. The collection, of course, is larger than that.
Yes.
But it was interesting, there were only three women, and two of them were Swiss. And I know there's a kind of national interest in artists from this region in the museum. So I'm wondering if those two artists were not Swiss, whether they would be shown in the museum. I don't know. That's a question we can't ask or answer. But I think it's significant to note that most of the American artists who are in these collections are very predictable artists. I think the curators are not doing their homework, are not really discovering what's interesting or what's going on. They're very predictable, you know. And actually, the museum appeared to me to be a kind of exercise in hero worship. Hero worship. Do you think that the population...
Heroine.
Certainly the population of Switzerland is close to 50% women. And, you know, women's experience is different from male experience. One would think that a cultural institution dedicated to preserving culture would want to preserve the work of half the population, of half. That experience has been sort of filtered out of what has become valued in culture. Now, I don't know whether 50% of your artists are women or not, but we know in the United States that more than 50% of the art school students are women.
I think I'd like to ask the radio audience to think about who goes to art school, and just think, how many daughters go to art school? How many people do they know who went to art school? How many were women, and how many were men? And what happened to the women after they left art school? And then that way you're able to see that there is discrimination going on.
I encourage women, you know, artists, though, not to blame each other for this situation or blame each other's feminism for the situation, but to rather focus on other issues. And I think what's necessary, what has helped us, is a sense of solidarity among women, the fact that as a class we are treated differently, and the only way we're going to get recognition as a class is to demand for it as a class. I mean, there have always been able to sort of get somewhere by acting like men. But I think that time has passed, and that's a kind of primitive, almost colonial kind of behavior. You know, it's time for women to begin associating with themselves and making demands. If they're 50% of the art school students, they should ask that they have some faculty members who are women who can serve as role models for them.
Vous êtes toujours à l'écoute Onde Femme 93.8 MHz sur Radio Zone. Nous écoutons une interview avec les Guerilla Girls. Les Guerilla Girls qui sont des femmes artistes qui luttent contre le sexisme, contre le racisme dans le monde des arts et qui nous viennent de New York.
I don't know what your academic situation is here, but in the United States, probably fewer than 10% of the faculty members in the art schools are women. And it's time that women start to think of themselves as educational consumers and to make demands rather than to focus on themselves as victims. I think we have to recognize where our power is, and we have to exercise it rather than merely bitching and complaining.
Well, there's also an economic power, because you're talking about many, many women students that are paying tuition, and they can do political actions that would pressure, obviously, the university to have many more women on the faculty.
Either that, they've either got to have women on the faculty or make the ridiculous statement that women are not qualified. And if they say that women are not qualified, then they'll have to prove it. And of course, that's a very difficult thing to prove.
Nous étions en compagnie des Guerilla Girls qui nous viennent de New York et qui luttent dans le monde des arts contre le sexisme, contre le racisme. Elles nous demandent à toutes d'être comme elles, de devenir des Guerilla Girls sans nous déguiser. Mais si nous voulons, pourquoi ne pas mettre un masque de gorille et de lutter là où nous travaillons, là où nous sommes, contre le sexisme qui nous entoure.
Yes, I support the women's liberation. I said long live women's liberation. I believe in equality because we love our men. But we'll no longer walk behind it. We must walk the same. You got to help me. I can't do it all by myself. You got to help me, baby. Honey, I can't handle it all by myself. If you don't help me, baby, I got to find somebody else. I might have to wash. I might have to sew, I might have to cook, might even mop your dirty floors. You're gonna help me, babe. Ooh. Oh, baby, if you don't help me, baby, I got to find somebody else. Gave you my everything. Daddy, I made you part of my life, yeah. Oh, you asked me, yes, you did. You asked me to be your wife. Oh, yeah. We promised each other we'd be together for the rest of our lives. Hey! Mm-hmm. I can't handle it all by myself. Oh, baby, if you don't help me, baby, I got to find somebody else. Bring me my nightgown, baby. Turn down the blue light. With me, talk with me, lay with me, pray with me, stay with me. Every now and then you can lay with me. You got to stay with me. You got to stick by me. You got to stay with me. Can't stand no one night stand. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Come on, baby. Help me, baby.
On écoutait Zora Young qui chantait Help Me. Et maintenant, nous allons écouter un autre groupe, Azimut 85, avec Norma Winston qui chante, John Taylor au piano, Kenny Wheeler à la trompette. On va écouter un morceau qui s'intitule Who Are You?
Who are you? The time since we met has seemed to pass so swiftly by. Another lifetime gone with countless mistakes that come no matter. Of the children we were, memories we walked right through, but now you ask, know how you smile, and I've seen times that made you cry. But though there's sadness now, the good times. Senseless to try to recapture the start, try to make old love new. But since you ask, I'd have to say that I feel lonely too.
Et maintenant, The International Sweethearts of Rhythm, une bande de femmes de jazz des années 40. Nous écoutons le morceau Digging Dyke.
As the International Sweethearts of Rhythm laid on us with Digging Dyke. Thank you.
Grande Femme, le 93.8 MHz. Nous écoutions The International Sweethearts of Rhythm. Je vous rappelle que c'est une bande de 18 femmes musiciennes de jazz. Et les enregistrements que nous avons écoutés datent de 1945-1946. Et maintenant, nous allons écouter la compositrice et l'accordéoniste Pauline Oliveros. Pauline Oliveros était aussi présente à Bâle lors du Symposium international des femmes dans les sciences et dans les arts. Pauline Oliveros, donc, elle compose, elle joue de l'accordéon. Et là, nous allons écouter un morceau qui s'appelle « The Well, the Gentle » avec l'ensemble de la musique contemporaine, avec Barbara Noska à la voix, Laurel Wyckoff à la flûte, Wesley Hall à la clarinette, Stephen Marcucci au saxophone, Marshall Taylor au saxophone, John Dulick au piano, Guy Klusebeck à l'accordéon, Charles Forbes au cello, au violoncelle, Florence Gherardi à la percussion.
Thank you. Thank you.
C'était Pauline Olivero sur Onde Femme 93.8 MHz. Onde Femme, c'est une émission de femmes sur Radio Zone 93.8 MHz tous les mercredis de 17h à 23h. Restez à l'écoute de Onde Femme, la suite de nos programmes dans un instant.
Have a good day.